Please, O Lord, our God, make the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths. Please, O Lord, our God, make the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths, in the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel, in the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel.
Well, Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Isn't this fun, having everybody here? Rabbi Mark and Rabbi Seth and Rachel and so many of you from all over the country. I think this is great. Hey, can we do it next Shabbat? Is everyone free? You know what I mean? We would love to have you. Boy, it's so much fun, all the singing and a cappella stuff. So terrific. Rabbi Mark has been sharing with us a vision for the future of maturing Messianic Judaism. If you haven't heard what he has to say yet, the good news is it's available on YouTube. And then, of course, this afternoon, Rabbi Mark will be speaking again, this time on the general secular picture, the world as it's developing, and how it will impact the future of what we're seeking to do together. And then, of course, he'll tie it all together later on today during his last talk. But we can ask a question. I mean, what's the goal of it all? I mean, you want to build a movement, great, but what is the ultimate end? What is the goal? Where is it all heading? We could answer the way contestants in the Miss America pageant answer. World peace, you know, that's possible. Why are you in the pageant? Well, it's world peace. And
I think there's a deeper answer. I want to suggest the answer is as follows. Here it is. I want to suggest that the goal of it all is intimacy with the Creator of all, an intimacy which will flow to and through all Israel to the entire world. The goal is connection, intimacy, with all that the joy that intimacy suggests. For those of you who know what intimacy is and have experienced it, I want to look now at a few of the examples in the Torah, which I'm calling images of intimacy. And we're going to look first at our Torah portion this morning. The Akedah, the sacrifice of Isaac, is part of the text. We didn't read it this morning. But let's think a little bit about Abraham being tested by God. And I want you to notice his response when Abraham said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. And then God said, here's the test, "Take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain I will show you." Excruciatingly difficult to hear. But it says that early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey, and he was off. He had other things to do. He brought some young men with him, brought Isaac, etc. But I want you to notice the response. He didn't seem to wonder, that voice, was that the falafel from last night, you know? Did I have too much falafel? Was it something that I ate? No, he seemed to have an intimacy with God that he was able to identify that voice at an intuitive level and even do something which was so utterly counterintuitive, and that is prepared to offer his son, and it's the son that God promised him in the first place. And we won't penetrate this much further, but I just want to point out that I believe it's a picture of an intimacy with God that was able to discern that voice. It's what it's all about. It's intimacy with God. In the text of the Akedah, in verses 7 and 8, this one, it's important that you hear the Hebrew. There is a very particular word which appears four times. It's the only verse in the Torah that has this particular word four times. And the word is Vayomer. Want to say that? Vayomer. Vayomer. It means, and he said, or and he spoke, often translated as he said. Vayomer, I want you to count the number, okay? Vayomer Yitzchak el Avraham Aviv. Vayomer Avi. Vayomer Hineni Vini. Vayomer Hine Ha'esh Ha'etzim Va'aye Haseh Le'ola. How many Vayomers in one verse? Four. Four Vayomers in one verse. And then there's another one in the next verses as well. But this verse, four Vayomers. And I was privileged to take a course with Professor John Levinson from Harvard not too long ago, a course in the Akedah, and he pointed out this unusual feature of this particular verse where there are the four Vayomers, and he said, this is a picture of intimacy. And he said to his dad, and his dad said to him, and he said to his dad, and his dad said to him. And in the structure of the passage, this intimacy only highlights the scandal, if it will, of what's going to happen. Because we don't have a teenage son and his father estranged from one another, and then this things snowball and get worse. What we have is a profound intimacy between Abraham and Isaac. And so we see, again, in the Torah, if we talk about the goal of a maturing Messianic Judaism and its importance to Israel and the world, the goal is worldwide intimacy with God. Let me demonstrate it again. This is a great one and one I love. When we put on tefillin in the morning, of course, we quote a wonderful verse from the book of Hosea. And as we're wrapping the tefillin around our fingers, we say, I will betroth you. We quote God as saying, I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice and love and compassion, and betroth you in faithfulness. And then it concludes, Vayata et Adonai, and you will know the Lord. And I'm sure many of you understand that the word to know oftentimes isn't just a kind of cognitive awareness, but to know itself is a term of intimacy used of husbands and wives. Adam knew his wife. I mean, that's the quintessential expression of intimacy in marriage. And so, again, we have this idea of intimacy with God elevated and elevated and elevated and extolled and exalted as the ultimate outcome in our relationships with Him, individually, corporately, and again, the whole world one day, but also with each other. We'll talk more about that too. Now here, Yeshua. Yeshua is giving his last talk, if you will, having his last discussion with his followers before his arrest. And you can imagine that when you're near death, you say the most important things, the things that you never said before to somebody. I remember the night my mother was dying, and my mom and I've always loved my mom, but there was a certain ambivalence in our relationship too, and not necessarily to get into, but that moment when I was with her and she looked very poorly because of the pancreatic cancer and no wig, you know, you can imagine the scene, but we had this phenomenal loving moment where we're 6 inches from each other's face, and she said things that I won't repeat to you, but they were just so beautiful. You see, when you're ready to die, you say the most important things. Well, here, I'll just quote one short section from this recollection of the words of Yeshua by his followers, Yochanan, before his death. He said, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know what is his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my father I have made known to you. And this is a magnificent picture of an intimate relationship between the Messiah, who, remember who he was, I mean, he's the one through whom God created everything, and yet he's able to say to these fishermen, these guys, these longshoremen, I mean, these regular guys, you're my friends. And what is that friendship suggested by? The intimacy which I have chosen to enter to relate to you in terms of, I am choosing to tell you things about me, about God's plan, because you're my friends. You're my chavarim, not just a bunch of guys who are chosen to do something. You're more than that. Now, intimacy. But there's a precondition to intimacy. And there are probably more than one, but we're just going to take a few minutes to talk about one that I see in the scripture as absolutely critical, absolutely central, and that is trust. Trust is the big precondition to intimacy. And that's why so often we read in the liturgy, B'tach B'Shem. How would you translate B'tach B'Shem? Trust the Lord. You see, without trust, intimacy goes out the window. And as powerful as intimacy is, it is simultaneously very fragile. It must be bathed in trust. And so the Jewish experience through history and our experience every day is a continual exercise in trust. Do you trust me? Is what God asks us through every struggle, every trial, and all that we experience every day. I want to tell you some things about trust. Trust inevitably comes over time. You don't get it when you first meet somebody, or it's not very real, or it's very fragile at best. Trust comes over time, and trust comes from seeing another act admirably under stress. And that's going back to the Akedah, what we find. God, in a sense, wanted to see what kind of mensch Abraham was, and hence the final test, the 10th test of Abraham. And so he asked him to give up his most treasured object of his affection, his son, and we know the outcome. Trust, I mean, just to talk about it in very plain terms, I'll tell you, when Sue and I were friends, we met in Ithaca College a long time ago and in a galaxy far, far away, you know. It wasn't that long ago, but it was a while ago. And during the Vietnam War and all that, you know, I mean, we were polar opposites. She was the demure classical bass player. And I was the hippy-dippy jazz trombone player, right? And there was a chemistry between us. I kind of felt a little protective toward her in a very way. And when I learned that she got a boyfriend, I was so happy for her, you know? I remember Susie Bass got a boyfriend. That's so great. But what happened over time is that we started hanging out more with each other. And I became a believer in Yeshua in August of 1971, and helped her to become a believer in him in March of 72. And there was no Messianic Judaism in those days, certainly that we were aware of. I was part of a very interesting small church. And a lady came from the Lakeside Nursing Home. And this lady asked, might there be a volunteer who'd be willing to do a study, a Bible study with some of the residents of the nursing home? And I just went up to her after and said, I would. And like within a week, I was relating to Chet, who had multiple sclerosis. He wasn't old. Ida and Ima and Bessie, people who could barely move. I mean, they were quite elderly, but I would meet with them every week. Didn't like going to the nursing home because of the smells and because of the oddness of it all, you know, when you're 19 years old. But I invited Susie Bass to come with me to the nursing home to play her cello. And she came and brought her cello. And trust, as a function of watching her relate to the people, and to see the kind of mensch she was, trust began to develop as I observed what she was like, and I think it was reciprocal. And as a result, trust grew and intimacy eventuated in 1974, May 25th, you're all invited. Wait a minute, no, this is not a time warp. It was 1974, happened a long time ago. We got married, and you know, it's been 43 very fun years, I'll have to say, you know. Intimacy, a function of trust, over time, observing an admirable people who proves himself or herself worthy of trust. Now, let's talk about Ruach House in City Ruach. Now there, you know, there's an inevitable kind of intimacy that just comes from living in the same place. And there's all kinds of intimacy and all kinds of levels of intimacy. But just living in close quarters demands a certain or suggests a certain kind of intimacy. But even that, I want to tell you right now, Ruach House will only make it if there's trust. Would you agree with that, everyone? It's only going to make it if there's trust. And what is trust a function of? Trust is a function of knowing how to live with the other people in a trustworthy fashion. You can relax with them. You don't have to be on your guard all the time. You learn to trust. And I have a feeling that the love and affection of all the people who live at Ruach House will grow as they observe one another being worthy of trust. And the intimacy within its proper context, there's different kinds of intimacy, will grow as well. Trust comes only when we prove ourselves to be trustworthy in the matter of shared values over time. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And let me say parenthetically, and maybe some of you, and I know some of you have come from some pretty tough homes, but this is where alcoholism is such a killer. Because when your dad is or your mom is an alcoholic, you can't trust because you never know whether you're going to get a hug or whether you're going to get slugged. You see what I mean? And so trust is very difficult, and therefore intimacy is virtually impossible. With God's help, we can even be healed of those things and find trust and find intimacy. Now, I want to conclude by saying something. I'd like to make a true observation about a number of my 60 and 70-something colleagues. Now, this is true. Again, as Rabbi Mark pointed out, many of us were the earlier leaders of the Messianic Jewish movement. And a number of us, I can think of four of my friends independently saying to me over the past several months that prayer has become more important to us during recent years. And they'll give different time frames, but it's all pretty recent. It's more important to us now than it was when we were younger. I also notice that my friends just seem to trust God more with outcomes than in previous decades, when you got all uptight if things weren't exactly the way they should be or whatever. And I observed, and this is the important one perhaps, that collectively we are a much happier bunch now than ever before. And that despite the inevitable health challenges which come with getting older, you know? I mean, those things are inevitable. But there really is just a deeper, more abiding sense of contentment, which I believe is the fruit of intimacy with God, mediated through Yeshua the Messiah and cultivated over decades of learning how to trust Him and trust one another. Messianic Judaism, it's a wonderful life. Okay? Now, I want to exhort especially you younger people. Go build it. Seeking intimacy with God, always cultivating appropriate intimacy with your brothers and sisters, and the inevitable fruit of that trust and that seeking intimacy is you will become more and more His trustworthy servants, enjoying the fruit of the goal of what everything is all about, intimacy.
Oh Lord, our God, let the words of your Torah speak.
Shabbat shalom, everyone.
In our mouths. Please, oh Lord, our God, let the words of your Torah sweet. In our mouths, in the mouths of your people. In the mouths of the house of Israel. In the mouths of your people. In the mouths of the house of Israel. May the descendants and the descendants of your people Israel be those who know your name and study your Torah for Messiah.